Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on August 11th, 2022. And thanks for being with us today. We've got a new guest that I think is going to be very special. One of her name is Dr. Sonia Toledo. I hope I pronounced that right, Sonia, and you'll help me on that. Okay. Toledo, I'm pronouncing it that way. It looks like the city of Toledo, Ohio. So she'll tell me how to pronounce that. Okay. She is the CEO and founder of an organization that offers extensive training and development resources for educators all over the world, and also offers complete K-12 PBL, project-based learning curriculums. That's called Dignity of Children, and it's at dignityofchildren.com. And you can go over there. So Sonia's going to talk to us, or Dr. Toledo is going to talk to us about, okay, it's newly named doctor, by the way, congratulations, okay, about her experience and all this, why she started this organization, what it's all about, etc. So stay tuned. We'll bring her on in just about a minute. I just want to tell everybody that our newest issue, the Back to School issue of Equity and Access Pre-K-12, our online journal, is on site over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And that is where everything we do is or linked to. Okay, so please go over ace-ed.org. Click on the cover of the magazine. It's a nice issue with some nice articles for Back to School 2022. All our podcasts, look, this one, are archived over there. You'll see a podcast icon. Our awards program for excellence in equity. Feel free to nominate yourself, companies you work with or for, whatever the case may be. You'll see all the rules over there under the awards icon. We did extend it. Okay, we got a lot of last-minute nominations, and we figure we better extend it, okay, because, look, everything, people wait to the last minute. So it's all extended, okay? It's under the awards icon for our Excellence in Equity Awards, SELtoday.org, our Social Emotional Learning Resource Center. You can link as well. And also, we're very concerned about this, and that's, of course, the teacher shortage, the educator shortage, the shortage of people who are working in education. Okay, school's starting. It has started in a lot of places. It's going to start soon. I talked to a district the other day, small district, and they're 48 teachers short. Okay, a mid-sized district in Texas. Okay, it's tough out there. And so we started teacher-retention.com with some good ideas over there. We're trying to get that going, et cetera. So please, you can check it all out. Again, everything's over at ace-ed.org. Our new issue of the magazine and this podcast and all the other ones we do. And without further ado, we're going to find it if I pronounce Sonia's name correctly. Sonia, it's Larry Jacobs. You're calling me Larry. And how do I pronounce your last name?
Toledo.
Toledo. I tried. That's thank you, Sonia.
Toledo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How'd I do? Give me a grade. How'd I do?
You did awesome. At least a 9.5.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Okay. And thank you for being with us today. I love to enjoy this conversation with you. Okay. It's going to be great. And first of all, congratulations. You just got your doctorate. What in? Brag a little.
Yes, I have a PhD in education with a focus on global training and development.
From where? Where'd you get it?
From North Central University.
Fantastic. Congratulations to you. That is a big deal, doctor. Okay, are people getting used to calling you doctor?
Thank you.
Doctor?
Yes, I am getting used to it. It's been a year since I did my defense, and it's actually very exciting because I actually see the specialty. Like, I'm like, yeah, I really know this stuff.
Yeah, you do. You do. And again, it's in global educator training. Say it again. What is it?
A PhD in education.
Yep.
With a focus on global training and development.
Wow. That's really an interesting degree, I have to tell you. And I know
I
that
know.
You were,
I thought.
Yes. Good.
I thought it was designed just for me.
It might have been. You might be the world's leading expert in this right now. And I think it's really cool. And on that note, you know, again, everybody's dignity. We'll talk about this in detail. dignityofchildren.com. But you seem to be, if I'm reading all this correctly, really concerned, I love this, about the global impact of education, okay? Not just here in the U.S., whatever. But just talk about that globalness, that part of what you're doing. I love this.
Well, one is, you know, in today's world, we have so many issues.
Yep.
That...
I noticed.
You cannot not notice, right? I don't know if that was appropriate language, but my point is that we need to bring those, we need to have our young people be part of global solutions as young as kindergarten. So the awareness of a global understanding is part of the education. So I understand that what's happening in Pakistan impacts me as a girl. I understand that what happens in Africa with hunger impacts me in my community and how. So so we are very focused on having the classroom be a global, you know, education. So young people could begin looking at how they could begin to make a contribution from as young as kindergarten to, you know, to forever.
And I agree with you. Obviously, I'm an old social studies teacher, and I couldn't agree with you more about understanding everything that's going on in the world. And I have to ask you, and we're going to talk about everything in detail, but I'm just curious about this part. Okay, what did you see? What do you feel? What did you notice that prompted such an interest? This is not something I hear all the time. I think it's wonderful. Okay, that we try to get kids involved and understand it's the real world. Because I remember when I was a kid, the whole world was simply, actually my world, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay, when I was a little kid in school.
Yeah.
Okay, then we didn't know anything about the real world out there. Okay, that took a long, long time. And you're saying that needs to change to get kids acclimated to living in a global society, really as soon as they start learning. Okay, and just talk about what prompted that. What brought it about, Sonia? What'd you see?
Well, I think it evolved in time, you know, and as I was doing my work in creating curriculum and training educators, If I look at my own life, when I was growing up in grade school, I was struggling academic, right, with a learning disability. I was struggling academic, and I didn't see value. Like, I didn't have value
That's
for
right.
myself.
Yeah.
So I think it went from struggling academic to low self-worth and confidence. So I didn't make a connection that I could even make a contribution on the world. Now, fast forward that I have gone through my journey of, you know, getting my master's degree and working in youth development and in education, and now my doctorate, I was like, wow, my real passion is in inequality in education. And that's happening worldwide.
Oh, it is.
So
it is.
I learned how to build my own self-worth through education through understanding what's happening. So I kind of applied it to my own life because I'm making an impact now.
You are.
But when I think about how if I had this knowledge or this understanding of the world earlier, I would have overcome my struggles academically because I was so interested. I would have been really interested in making that impact that matters to me.
Right.
So
and
I
it
think
does
I've
matter.
Always had a,
Go ahead.
Right. And it does like we all have things that really matter to us. Right. So what we do, like, let's take the pandemic. Our young people who are in grade school right now from kindergarten or even early childhood to high school have directly been impacted by the pandemic. We cannot say no. Somehow or another, they've been directly impacted, from illness to death to mental illness to isolation to mm-hmm. academic struggles to friendships mm-hmm. to social. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. If we could just tap into any child's, like, what really matters to you out of this experience, what is the one thing that hurts the most? If we start there, then they see the drive to make a difference from their adversity to then make a contribution to someone else. So, So I made those two connections. Those two connections for me is healing, and contribution becomes power, becomes success. Because if I could heal myself and heal somebody else, I feel power. I feel confident. I feel worthy. And I have the feeling of keep doing it. I'm going to keep mm-hmm. doing this because it feels good.
Yeah.
And it also makes a difference in the world. I see my purpose.
Exactly. And you're trying to let students, young ones as well, see their purpose and try to move forward.
Yes.
And you approach it with and again, the name of your group, the dignityofchildren.com. Okay, you're approaching all mm-hmm. this to this, literally to the dignity of children. We're not talking down to them about
mm-hmm.
this. Okay?
No.
And I think that's really important. And on that note, okay, again, we're talking mm-hmm. to thousands of educators. And, you know, as they listen in over the next few weeks, a lot of people listen to on the archives here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
As we're talking about this, to two educators, if they go to dignityofchildren.com, what will that do for them? Why should they go over there? What is your organization doing? Talk about it in specifics, how teachers can really get involved in what
okay.
you're doing. Again, brag.
Okay.
Have fun. Go for it.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, we want to first start with creating a community of forward-thinking educators. Right. So the first thing mm-hmm. we want to be apparent is that we are going to start interacting with others that believe in our method of education. So you got to be in alignment with this method of education. I'm going to be a little bit controversial here is, you know, our education system, our public education system is not designed to have children be creative thinkers or thinkers. Or designers or problem solvers. They are designed to absorb information and then and take out the information and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's it. But they're not
mm-hmm.
thinking for themselves. So what we want is to create an environment, and I'm not saying let's transform the education system today, but if you transform your approach on how you want your children to grow their knowledge, their wisdom, their power, their self-confidence. Those are the educators that we want to attract. And then so now we go into the how. Okay, now
mm-hmm.
how I could do that with my kid. The one kid that is the biggest pain in my that kid has something in him that's going to make a difference in this world. And it's my job to figure out how I'm going to make that kid become the, you know, the destructive one, the challenging one to the more powerful one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it takes creating a culture, and it's a strength-based culture, a culture of a trauma-informed culture, a culture of care and self, a safe space emotionally
mm-hmm.
for everyone. So we need to create cultures. First, create that foundation where we give permission for our children to be brilliant, right? So
I want that to happen.
Constantly, you want that to happen?
Of course, I want that to happen.
One classroom.
Okay, so do you? All right,
one classroom
but let me
time.
Ask. Okay, I want to ask. I want to get down to the nitty gritty here. Okay, and I know you have the answer to this. Okay. You have resources, or you're developing resources, or you will be developing resources, however you want to phrase that,
mm-hmm.
okay, and training yeah. for educators
yeah.
And you can do this all over the world, but basically we're talking to U.S., Canada today. Okay, a few people from other countries will be listening, but mostly U.S., Canada, and maybe into Mexico, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. All right? And I'm curious, okay, how – and this is a key question, and I've said this a zillion times, and I'm going to agree with you for what you said a few minutes ago. Okay, the education system – this is a bureaucracy. Okay, it has been a bureaucracy for years, and it's hard to break through new ideas in a bureaucracy, and every teacher wants to do new ideas, etc. Most superintendents, etc., want to do new ideas. So do school boards, and then it just winds up in the bureaucracy again, okay, as people change, etc. So my question is, okay, working within – how do we work what you want to do into the system we have now? That's a key question. What, and you've thought about this, believe me. Thought you wouldn't be doing this.
Yes, I have.
Go ahead. Yeah.
First, go ahead. You have to believe, right?
Yeah.
First, you start with self.
By the way, I agree with what you're saying, but it's hard to – I'm just curious how you've thought it through, because that's going to be a key factor.
Yeah. Yes. So one is we got – like you said, we got to start – somewhere. So I'm looking at the bottom-up approach where we start with the teacher. We start with the educator. The educator learning new strategies, changing the perspective in how children learn, and creating cultures within the classroom that support bringing out the talents, the desire, what matters to them, more discussion, more understanding individual children, where they what they feel, what they like, what they don't like, so we could then start creating a journey for them to create an environment where creation starts happening organically. So what I'm trying to say is we got to start with the educator wanting to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We give them tools to design a culture where children are self-directed in their own learning. Children become a desire for learning. They have that desire to learn.
Important.
And in that, the teacher then becomes that facilitator, that coach, to have kids be self-advocators, to have kids be their researcher. Go deeper into that topic. Well, here's some resources so you can learn more about this topic that matters to you. So I'm not saying to change everything you do, but an hour or 2 hours a week that you engage young people in a process of discovering their own journey will begin to start the difference. So I'm thinking about micro, very small into larger. So for example, we also have guided curriculums. So we have entrepreneurship, we have climate change, urban farming. One of our latest ones is art as a commodity for young people who are artists.
That's nice.
We pilot this summer. We have health and wellness, financial literacy. So we have guided curriculums that would help give facilitation strategies to the teacher to create this culture in the classroom.
I think it's really important. I'm going to ask, some of you brought up something before. I didn't mention at the beginning of the show, we are actually the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And our website is ace-ed.org. Okay, so you mentioned the word equity earlier. And obviously I'm on the same wavelength with you. Everything we boiled down to is a equity question. And I'm curious, Where do you see your curriculum and your work? Do you see it in urban education? Do you see it everywhere? Do you see it in elementary more so than secondary? What are your thoughts on all those things?
Equity is very.
And if you can answer
that,
I'll give
you
another
PhD. See, equity belongs everywhere. First of all, when it comes down to the curriculum, that the model that I'm promoting and advocating for, it should be everywhere. We actually had the pleasure of connecting with a village in Rwanda. And we've been in dialogue with them for a while because they really want to bring this program to that village. Because when it comes down to equity, it means that everybody matters.
That's right.
Right. So this curriculum is designed to focus on the individual creating their own journey in learning and having that desire to learn what I need to learn to make the difference that I want to make in the world. So that's a journey. So from kindergarten all the way up to your lifetime, you could be in this journey. So my goal is to spark that desire as young as possible. So I'm not looking at, this is only for elementary or only for middle school and high school. Now it's easier for me to convince a school or an organization to work with their middle schools and high school because they already have, it's an easier process for that age group. Do you follow me?
I do.
It's easier to convince any educator that that's going to be what they do because they want to see those outcomes faster. But I really believe it starts as young as a child could think.
well, it's true, and they start thinking pretty young, and pre-K, is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. That gets them started on the right road. We all know that, okay? But I think this is really cool. And you mentioned something that struck me as so important. You said you're working with a village in Rwanda, all right? And I think that's very, very important, all right? Because we're talking about equity, and we don't want to lose any great minds, okay? We really don't.
Right.
Okay? And that kid in Rwanda, if I may, could cure cancer. Who knows? Okay?
Yes. Who knows?
It's that simple. Okay? But if they don't give it a chance, that's not going to happen. All right. And my curiosity is, as you talk to people in other countries, Sonia, okay, and then you talk to educators here in this country and perhaps in Canada as well, okay, is it easier, you know, when you talk to a teacher in a foreign land, do they have a different perspective on what you tell them than what an American teacher might have?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, just with this experience, I found that they automatically got connected to the philosophy faster. They was not so they were not so easy to convince me that education had to be a certain way, had to look a certain way in order for it to be effective.
Wow.
Here in the States, we just feel that there's a certain model or how to that we have to keep the how to. I think what it's hard for us to break away from old habits and models and traditions, right? To say, we're going to give
sure
kids
is.
The opportunity to tell us what to do. And so what I found, you know, in talking to educators in other countries, they were much more open to those possibilities because they are interested in possibilities. They're like, give me a possibility. Like, are you telling me that we could have our young people start, you know, getting the desire to want to learn deeper about a particular topic and then start making a difference in their own community? Yes, bring it on. This is a country that's been, you know, it's still being evolving. So
it really is. Are you working? Where are you located? Are you in New York? Where are you?
We're in New York. Yes. This is where I started in 2008 in New York. Yes.
Fantastic. Wow. And so I assume you're working with some U.S. schools here. What's their reaction to all this? As you talk to schools that you're working with, what do they need? What do they like, et cetera? Give us the feedback you're getting from educators.
Well, I got a little bit, when I'm talking to you, you know, I'm talking from my heart. My gut comes out, right? But when I'm talking to educators,
Thank you.
I'm talking from a place of academic language,
mm-hmm.
right? So what I'm sharing with them is career development, job readiness skills, 21st century social emotional learning. These are all terms and educational terms that allow us to say, yeah, our children need this. Do you have evidence-based practice to implement this? So that's how I approach them.
Wow. Well, it's good. You're moving. Are you anywhere? Are you outside of New York State yet? And I don't mean another country. Here in the U.S., are you working anywhere outside
of
New York?
We do have Florida, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. We have partners in all three of those states right now that we are moving the curriculum forward in those states.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Fabulous. And it's important. I hope people do get in touch with you. You got a great heart, okay? And you really want to get things done. You want to make changes. And I think that teachers want to make changes too. Actually, everybody wants to make changes, okay? If anything, the pandemic taught us that, all right? So I think what you're doing is excellent. It's a great time to bring this into play and make it work. And again, dignityofchildren.com, they offer great training and resources for teachers and K-12 project-based learning curriculums. And it's all about student voice and student journeys. And that's what teachers love. So Sonia, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
It's an honor to have a conversation with you.
No.
Thank you for having me.
Back at you on that one. You're just a wonderful guest. And you got like I said, you got a great heart. So continued good fortune with all this. Thank you.
Thank you.
And everybody, that's Dr. Sonia Toledo, okay? Did that right, okay? Dignityofchildren.com. What a nice lady. What a good organization. Check it out. We're all looking for change. We're all looking for student engagement. Let's make it happen, okay? It's good stuff. Dignityofchildren.com, okay? And we'll archive over at our Consortium for Equity and Education website over at ace-ed.org. Check out everything we're doing over there, the new issue of the magazine, and all the websites and all the awards programs, etc. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.